I've got a little quiz to start this morning. There's only two questions, but you don't have to put your hand out. You can just shout out the answer when you latch onto it. And here's the first one. Anybody know who that is? Those celebrity watchers and so on. I think I may have heard it over here.
One of the Beckham boys.
Yes. Who was that? Who shouted out up there? Yeah, yeah, well done. Brooklyn Beckham. And there he is, of course, with his father. Do you see any kind of resemblance? Or, second question, who's this? Watson, you cheat. I can't believe he's just done that. Watson was at the early service this morning. I heard the answer. I can't believe he's just done that, but he did. Now, when you hear the answer and when you see him beside his father, don't you see the family likeness there between Tom and Colin? He looks very like his father. As do these ones, don't they? You could say that, yes, he's got his father's features. Or maybe in this case, he's got his father's ears. It's something that we like to say from time to time. We say, oh, he's awfully like his father. Or, more worryingly, as I'm dealing now from time to time, address to myself, you're getting off it like your father. And that's a prospect I'm thinking seriously about what it means. Sometimes, of course, we're referring to likeness as in the way we look. I mean, would you say there that, oh, you look like your father? Or hopefully nothing like him at all. Sometimes we're referring to a description. But sometimes when we're saying that he's like his father, we're referring to, more deeply, personality traits. Or characteristics, or behavior patterns. Maybe there are some things that I do, which an older generation would say, your dad did that just the same. Either way, whether in terms of the way we look or the way we are and act, what we're referring to is family likeness. You can see something of Tom Hanks in his son Colin. There's a family likeness going on. Now folks, here we come, face to face, with perhaps the most central and greatest beliefs of the Christian faith. And this belief, this understanding that Christians have is what makes Christianity different from all the other religious and belief systems that you care to mention. And here's what that central belief is that Christians hold on to. I'll put it very simply, it's this. When you look at Jesus, you see God. I'll say it again. When you look at Jesus, what you're seeing is God and what God is like. Which, of course, is just as well. Because the truth is, no one has ever seen God. Anyone who tells you that they've seen God is deluded. No one has ever seen God. How could you see God? God is spirit. So John, in his gospel, makes that clear. None of us has ever seen God. So how could we know what God is like if we have never seen him? We would have no idea what God is like. Apart from the fact that he chose to show himself to us. God in his wisdom has chosen to not remain hidden, but to reveal himself to us. And his method for doing that, the way that he has gone about showing himself to us, is through Jesus, who was a person, who lived, breathed, walked, talked. God was showing us what he himself is like in Jesus. And this, I put to you, is uniquely the Christian belief, and it's absolutely essential to what we believe. I want to just push it a little further than as I was getting at with my illustration earlier. There, we might have been able to say that Colin Hanks bore a resemblance to his father, or that Brooklyn Beckham was a passing resemblance, vaguely like his father. We're not using those phrases when it comes to describing how Jesus is to his Father God. It's much more than that. What we're saying is this, that Jesus has made God known, and look, that he is the exact likeness of God. You don't look to Jesus and get a vague idea of what God is like. When you look to Jesus, you see exactly what God is like. Or here again, in Paul's writing to the Colossians, God decided to put his whole nature, his full nature, into Jesus. And so I say again, when we look to Jesus, we're not seeing a bit of God, a bit of what God is like. We're seeing everything. In Jesus, we have the exact representation of God. So, do you want to know what God is like? Then the answer is in your hands. Look at Jesus. Maybe you're asking me, well, how do I do that? Jesus lived a long time ago. True. That's true. But the good news is that those who were around with him wrote it down. We have it in the gospel. We have a wonderful description of Jesus in the gospel. So we go to the New Testament. We go to the gospel. We read about what Jesus was like. According to those who lived with him and saw him and witnessed, we read what he was like. And as we find out what Jesus was like, we're finding out exactly what God is like. I've shared this previously, but I want to do it again because it's relevant today. Many years ago, when our boys were just tiny in their car seats and so on, we were travelling back from Forfar. We were coming along past the fences at Contour, and Andrew, our middle boy, who was about, I think maybe about three, he was in his car seat in the back, And out of the blue, with no prompting whatsoever, he asked this question: what colour is God? What colour is God? Well, I defer to Elaine and ask her to answer. And she came up with what I thought was a great answer, a kind of teacher's answer. She said, "Andrew, God can be any colour you want him to be. What colour do you imagine? That's fine." Good answer. But imagine that Andrew had asked a different question. Or maybe actually deep down this was the question he was asking. Imagine he had asked, not what colour is God, but what is God like? If he had asked, what is God like? We would not have answered, he's anything you want him to be. That would not be true. We know what God is like. And so in response to his question, what's God like, Mummy or Daddy? We would have answered. We have the answer. We have the answer because Jesus has made it clear. We look at Jesus and we see what God is like. This is the truth of Christmas. But as I said earlier, that gets lost in all the trappings. And even when we're considering angels and shepherds and mangers and wise men and donkeys and camels, and even when we're getting our children dressed up in tea towels for the nativity plays, which I love, maybe we lose sight of the real truth of Christmas, which is that Jesus came into the world to let us know what God is like. So it is not hidden to us. You need not be blank or unknowing as to God and what he's like. It's known. Jesus makes it known. Now there's one final thing I want to say today in wrapping this up. I love this phrase that we have in the passage, talking about Jesus and saying, he is in the closest relationship with the Father, in other words, with God. You have this picture, Jesus and Father God being in the closest possible relationship. We might say that they are one and the same, that they are so closely together. But it's what that opens up to us that really matters. Because through Jesus, and then through our believing in Jesus, we too can enjoy that same relationship. This is what Jesus makes possible for us. He was in the closest possible relationship with God. And he makes it possible for us to be in the closest possible relationship with God. And I ask today, isn't that what you want? Some of you may be thinking, I don't even believe in God, or I'm not sure, is there a God? I'm saying to you, take a step of faith. And if there is a God there, this God who loves us and has made us and holds us Wouldn't you want to be in the closest possible relationship with them? I would. And that is what Christmas makes possible. Because no longer do we need to think about God as being remote or far off, distant to us. Jesus came to bring him near. So it's not just for those and such as those, but every single person in this building today has that possibility that in your life you would be in the closest relationship with your Father God. Oh, please take hold of that. Please grab that and live that for yourself. Let's pray.